Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Welcome, welcome to Bashani Radio Network. This is New York City, where we always talk about everything. This is the Get Your Business Right show. You know who I am, Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach. And you know, when it comes to your fear, we're all about kicking your fear straight through the door. Because I'm the author of Rise and Burn and From Pain to Power. And you know what makes us special? Not me, but you. Because you who are looking to people who are in business, and organizations, and just your, even in your personal life, because, well, our show, we know there's three things that we know we want to help you do. Number one, be in the right environment, meet the right people, and how to make the right power moves. I'm excited today because when we go across this life that we live in right now, when people, we hear so many things about social media. People say, oh, social media is bad, this and that, and don't do this and don't do that. I'm here to tell you, if you look into build your personal development, if you're here to reach out and go to another level, we have to use every avenue that's before us. And we are living in times now we see a lot of people hurting. We see a lot of people in pain. And we see people who are asking themselves sometimes on a daily basis, what is my why? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? But I'm excited right now because I have a gentleman right now. He knows his why, he knows his purpose, and he is making not a little impact, but a massive impact. He's helping people have impact financially. He is helping our fellow servicemen make an impact back to civilian life. Let me introduce you to the coach, the influencer, the financier, Mr. Michael Roach.
Hey, Michael, thanks for having me on your show today. I appreciate it.
Well, man, it is so good to have you on. Because as I was just speaking, so often, I want to bring everyone on the audience know, I met Michael through LinkedIn. Somehow, through the algorithm, either he saw me or I saw him. But I could tell you when I saw him, the one thing that jumped out at me is I saw a man who was taking a step and using his faith and using his abilities to help other people. Because we see so much desensitization in our life, in our society nowadays. Wouldn't you say that, Mike? People can walk past people who are hurt, broken, and everything else. And so it's like,
absolutely.
It used to be when it was time to help people, the crowd would rush in to help. Now, everybody got phones out, want to record what's happening versus help.
Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. That is the truth. And it's, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I started doing what I'm doing now. And I feel like I've been given so much, right? I have an opportunity that through the experiences that I've had to be able to give a little bit back. And, you know, maybe I can't put all the phones away, but I hope I can, you know, make an impact to one person along the way anyway.
Absolutely, Michael, and just having a name, Michael, right along with me, you know, we already a kindred spirit, man, and you already know Michael's a powerful name, so some of the most greatest men who ever lived have had the name Michael, so just that right there is an important piece. But let's jump into your childhood for a second on your acts of service. As a child, who did you see? Who was your influence as a child?
So some of the influences, probably the biggest influence I had as a child was my grandparents. they were always giving back to people and doing stuff, and whether it was town organizations or going to taking trips somewhere and bringing stuff. I mean, they were 80 years old and taking trips to Mexico to try and bring, you know, supplies to migrant workers and things like that. They were they were just very active in trying to give back. And the other thing from my story is, you know, we were poor. We had nothing at all growing up. And so for me, being able to see the impact that, like, when I started working and, you know, I started probably working when I was 12, 13 years old and, you know, doing odd jobs or whatever, and to be able to take the little bit that I had and give that back to my family and be able to give Christmas presents to my kid sisters and kid brother and stuff like that, or be able to, you know, take a little bit of the burden off my parents, and seeing the impact that just the small things had made me realize how much of an impact even, you know, $5 an hour at McDonald's isn't a lot, but it's enough to be able to give a little bit of something back to somebody who's going to appreciate it.
Exactly. So as you saw those acts of service from your grandparents, and like you said, when you were growing up with your parents, you did see some struggle times. How did you wrestle with those times? And at what point did it click for you where you saw, or better yet, had the satisfaction that you saw someone else being able to benefit who was less fortunate? What age were you, and how did that moment feel for you?
It was really my whole life, but I remember when I was, I don't know, probably going to say 12 or 13 years old. It's probably the first time that I remember seeing what the real impact of giving to somebody is, and just the way that felt, and seeing, you know, people gave stuff to my family, whether it was food or other things, and being able to do the same thing and give back to people, and realizing, you know, that that's a part of who we are as people, that I think that there should be a community of people that you can rely on and you can count on. And to see people who I didn't know, you know, other than I knew that they were at church and we sang hymns with them on Sunday morning or something like that, I didn't know them from anybody. And to see them being willing to give back into my family and give to us and give to people who they have no real connection with other than they happen to come across their path. So that was probably, and it was right after we had moved to Maine, was when we got real, you know, things got pretty dire, I guess, right, from a financial perspective. And so to see somebody who has no reason to care, put in a little bit of effort just to care a little bit and give something back to us, really, yeah, that was probably the first time I remember feeling that impact and seeing what that looks like.
So if you're correct, pretty much your family made a move. You moved from one state to another state?
Yeah, that's right. My dad decided that he wanted to become a pastor, and so moved from New Hampshire to Maine.
Okay.
To go to seminary and learn how to preach the gospel. So that was a window of time where he was going to school and wasn't working, and we were just, you know, we didn't have a lot. So I had to figure out a way to make things work out.
Exactly. And so, like you said, I remember you mentioning that you said that you did odd jobs. What were some of the first odd jobs you did?
So I went around and raked leaves at a trailer park. I picked up brush and stuff after storms, whatever that was. I don't know if you've ever been to a wild blueberry field, but you rake blueberries. You go in with something that looks like a dustpan and a 5-gallon bucket, and the dustpan has these tines across the end of it, and you run them through the bush. It's about, you know, 2 feet high, 3 feet high maybe. And you run them through and you get all the blueberries off into your dustpan and you dump them in the bucket.
Oh, yeah.
And you run it back across the field, and they weigh it and pay you, I think it was $2.35 a bucket or something that we were making at that point.
Okay.
So, things like that were just, you know, shovel the neighbors' houses. Lots of snow in Maine, so plenty of opportunity to shovel and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, because, man, you're not too right. I mean, you had one thing in common. You were connected directly by land to Canada, and I'm connected by water. So,
yeah, we were connected by neighboring streets with Canada. You know,
oh man,
if we jumped up and down, waved real hard, we could probably hear you know, hear somebody putting maple syrup on their pancakes. So, you know, it was no, I'm kidding, but we were pretty far up there. We were up there.
Oh yeah, and, you know, that's so important that we the fact you saw those acts of service. Number one, what, like you said, watching your dad make that sacrifice, get into ministry school, and to move his family, and knowing that there's going to possibly be some tough financial times, but obviously it was your dad's faith that allowed it to happen. And what did you learn during that time? Did you, at that point in time when your dad made that decision and you guys, did you understand it at that time? What was your concept of what was going on at that time?
At that time, I could not have understood it. If you sent me to college to try and understand it, it was a hard window for me in that time to just see, why are we making choices that put us in this place where there's so much struggle, and why is this so important to you? You know, why is this thing that you can't see, you can't touch? How is this so important to you that you're willing to change your whole life for it? And so there was a window in there, you know, in my teen years, that it was tough for me to understand. And you know, as I grew up, that became a little bit more clear, that it's the idea of believing in something that's outside of yourself, and yes, putting together a plan because you want to have an impact, you want to do the right thing. And so as soon as I realized, and I don't remember, I was probably older than I'd like to admit, but you know, it's probably 15 years later that I realized my parents are always doing what they thought was the best thing, and that it was something that was valuable and important to them. And they always did the best that they knew and understood to do. And so even though I didn't understand it, when we're eating potatoes every meal of every day, because that's the cheapest food around that you can find, that, you know, even when I didn't understand it in that time, being able to look back on it and say, hey, you know what? I don't have to agree with everything that happened, but I can always look at what my parents did and say they did what they believed was the best thing and the right thing for them to leave the impact that they wanted to leave on the world.
That's right. And so as you said, this impact, let's kind of move it forward a little bit. How did you come to the decision, and what prompted you to want to get into the military?
So getting into the military was a long road for me. I was at a point where I'd been running from things like my faith, and running from things like obligation and responsibility and things like that for a long time, because, you know, I was mad and I was hurt, and I was just wanted to push everything as far away from me as I could. And got to a point where I knew that I needed to make a big change and do something that would really have an immediate impact in my life, in who I was. And so I decided that the military would be a great opportunity. I tried to enlist right after high school, but I had had malaria. I went to Africa when I was 16. And so that was, that's a different story. That's not what we're here for, but they disqualified me for that, when I was, I don't know, 19 years old or something like that. And so then maybe 4 years later, I said, you know what, I got to do something. I'll try this again. What's the worst thing that they're going to do? Tell me no twice. And, so walked into the recruiter's office and I joke around about it, but it's really what happened. I walked into, you know, an Air Force recruiter's office and said, hey, I think I'd like to join the Air Force. And they said, well, we're not really looking for you right now, but why don't you try next door? And so I walked into the Marine Corps recruiter's office, and he took some time and talked to me. And so that was how I ended up enlisting in the Marine Corps a while back ago now.
And I'm willing to bet you don't regret that at all, do you?
Not even a little bit. It was an awesome experience for me that I like to say individual days may be some of the worst individual days along the way, but when you look at the whole thing together, it was one really great experience for me. And so it was a, you know, there's good times and there was bad times, and but you meet some people along the way that really influence the way that you think about things, the way that you do things. You learn a lot about yourself and how you think about things and what's important to you and why those things are important to you. And you find ways to make it through things that you probably would have never thought you were going to be making your way through. So.
Yeah, that's definitely powerful right there. I'm so glad you took, even though you were turned down the first time and you could have easily been discouraged and say, you know, I'm not even going down that route again, but to go back and for you to go to the military branch that you initially wanted to be in and be a part of, and for them to turn you down, I know for a lot of people, so if they get turned down for a certain branch of the military, that's if they get it. Let me just do something else. But you went ahead and stuck it on out and went from not being able to be a part of the Air Force, but going over to the Marine Corps and getting in. And what was some of the first things that you learned in boot camp and just the process that added to your character? What were the first things that you added to your character that you learned?
Sure. Well, you know, adding on to the story of getting turned down, I skipped over the part where I still got disqualified by the Marine Corps two more times. So I had to go through the enlistment processing, I think four total times before I finally got my way in. I had to get waivers and do tests, and it was a whole mess. But that was probably the first lesson, that if you really want to make a change, you want to do something, sometimes it takes a little bit more work than you might expect, but if it's something you believe in and you think is worth it, then, you know, you should probably keep working on it. But then when we got to boot camp, you know, the things that stand out to me that I carry with me today is, the first thing is, when people have a common purpose, you can really accomplish incredible things in a short window of time. When you get people together that are working on the same thing, because we all showed up from all over, anywhere east of the Mississippi, shows up at Parris Island, South Carolina, wearing whatever clothes you're wearing, whatever shoes you're wearing, whatever haircut you have. And you show up and you start off and they have you, go through this whole process where everything's loud and feels disorganized and chaotic, and you're running, you hope that you get the right size boots and you hope that you get the right size shoes. And then they put you in a formation and they put a reflective belt around you and sneakers on with your new cami uniform, and you just look a mess all around. And then they try and teach you to march, but you have no idea what that means, and everybody's taking different steps and doing things, and you just look like a gaggle of clowns walking down the street. And that's how it starts off. And in the 13-week period that we had at boot camp, by the time we were done, we'd go to the parade deck and every single one of us is in our crisp Service Alpha uniform, looking good, and everybody's taking the exact same steps, and everybody's exactly the same inches from the person in front of them. And everybody, you can do a whole routine around the parade deck where you can do rifle movements, and you can do, you know, just all of these turning movements. You can expand and collapse your ranks, and all of these things that every single person all of a sudden has the same language that they use to describe things, the same movements that they do, the same behaviors. When you say bulkhead line, everybody knows exactly what that means. And everybody does the same thing. You know, everybody knows what a scuzz brush and go fasters are. Mm-hmm. You know, and those are things that I sure never thought I'd say in my life before I got down there. But that was, you know, just seeing how far a group of hundreds of kids and young adults could come from having nothing in common at all, other than every single person there volunteered to do something in service. That's the only thing that we had in common. And 13 weeks later, we all were Marines and ready to go out and do something that is outside of ourselves in the same way. So that was probably one of the biggest lessons I learned.
And that's powerful, because you brought some good points together there on just, number one, being consistent. And two, you know, just stand in there. And I want to kind of, it's time for us to take a quick little break. And we're back on the Get Your Business Right show on Bashani Radio Network. And we are here with Michael Roach. And this guy is really making it happen when it comes to helping people. Michael, it's good to have you back here. And man,
hey, I appreciate it. Having a great time talking to you.
Man, absolutely, man. I mean, it truly, as the word says, so as iron sharpened iron, one man sharpens another. And you are truly doing what it takes to sharpen other people around you. And I want to jump into relationships because, like you said, when you were in boot camp, by the end of those 13 weeks, those were your brothers. And it didn't make a difference.
Yeah, that's right.
It didn't make a difference where they were from, where they came from the slum or the ghetto, or they came from the penthouse, or for the big house in the hills in the suburbs. Those were your brothers. And what did you learn about those relationships that helped shape you to want to help other servicemen?
So from those relationships, the biggest thing that I learned is that no matter how different we are, is that we're really all pretty similar. I mean, you know, we're all people at the end of the day. And so being able to build relationships with people who are from a bunch of different backgrounds, have different motivations, there's different stuff that gets people out of bed in the morning, and to still be able to connect with people in a real deep and intimate way, especially the guys that I later was in my unit with and deployed with and all those things that you really spend some long, weird time with, you know, and to get to a point where we don't have to be the same. I don't have to understand you. I don't have to know every piece of your life to really know that you're somebody who I can connect with in a deep and meaningful way.
Right.
Because we're people, you know, mm-hmm. you have a really different backstory than I do.
That's right.
And that doesn't matter because we're here today and this is what we're doing today. And I know that I can count on you because we're open with each other, right? You have to get to know people really well. You can't stay to yourself and keep your guard up and all those things and have a successful time in the Marine Corps. You have to be willing to put it out there and to get close with people. And that's one that I was really bad at. You know, I wanted to keep everything close to the chest, you know, nobody gets to know me. And now, you know, some of the guys I still stay in close touch with, but even the ones that I don't stay in close touch with, it still is, you know, you shoot a message, you shoot a chat, give them a call, whatever. Hey, how's it going? And it's just like we're still back, you know, in 2009, you know, and it's been almost 15 years now talking
right.
to them. And it's, and so just learning, you know, how powerful a common bond, a connection can be with people and recognizing that we don't have to be the same in order to have something in common. So
that's right.
That was great.
And so you really, that says a lot right there. And I want to kind of bring us into your organization on. You saw the need that a lot of servicemen who had been deployed in the service and you saw as a need on them needing to reacclimate back to civilian life. So what were some of the things that you saw firsthand that you saw it was a need, number one, and then what prompted you to take that step and move forward? Because, you know, in life, we see problems every day. And of course, we always can choose what problems we, far as problems, I mean, from a society problems, we can kind of decide what we want to do, how we want to do when it comes to those issues. But you saw the issue, but you didn't just call your senator, and you didn't go to your commanding officer, you didn't talk to the general. You took it upon yourself. So kind of walk us through that process on what you saw with your fellow servicemen, and at what point in time you made that decision to take the mantle, charge, and to actually put this organization in place.
So the first thing that I saw is especially as I got out of the Marine Corps, started doing things on, you know, in I'll call it the real world, you know, getting into something that was new. some of the things that I felt through my transition and through trying to, as I was finishing school and trying to get all those things done, that I'm like, man, I am 10 years behind everybody else. It took me 10 years to finish my undergrad degree. I had a bunch of work experience, but it was all waiting tables or installing fire alarms or just whatever the things are that you can do to find a way to make a couple of bucks here and there. And I had no idea what in the world I should pursue and what I should do,
right,
and what opportunities were out there for me. And most of the people that I know in the military, you just feel like I've just done my job. I showed up and I did my job because that's what I signed up to do. And I'm a person with integrity and character. So I'm going to do that. And over the course of my career, from meeting people and finding somebody who was willing to invest some time and energy in me through a mentorship and seeing the impact that that had on me, to be able to say, yeah, you did your job and that's all that you did, but that's a job that not that many people are willing to do.
Yes,
and you learned all of these things that have real value in real world situations, to be able to think through problems quickly and find creative solutions to them, to be able to work with people who are different from yourself and find ways to get to a common goal, and to be able to take my experience where I spent 3 years treading water and spinning my wheels and trying to figure stuff out until I found somebody who's willing to invest time in me.
That's
and
right.
who helped me to see what the value in my experience was, and to be able to turn that into a real world benefit for myself. And think about the value that provided to me was for, I had to make the investment too. You know, it's not like somebody just showed up and waved a wand and brought exactly. me somewhere. Great. but somebody was, when I asked the question, somebody was willing to say, hey, I've seen this, I've experienced this, I've done this. Let me tell you some of the pitfalls you can avoid and some ways that you can move ahead. And so that was what was a super valuable experience to me. And then now, a little bit later on, I talk to so many folks who are either transitioning out of the military or who had an experience like I had where they did a few years and got out or whatever it is, or even people who are staying in the reserves or something like that, that are trying to find the next step in what they're doing with their life and what's right. going on, and saying, I don't know what comes next.
Right.
And I know that the experience that I have, right, I'm not going to have the same problem. I don't have the same experience, but I have an experience that I observe the value from that I think I can share with other folks.
That's right.
And say, hey, you know what? If you're willing to make the investment in you, I'll make the investment in you too,
mm-hmm.
to help you get through this and to take that next step and do the next thing that comes up, and help you get to where you're trying to get to. And I have just had so much benefit and I've achieved so much as a result of somebody else's time that they were willing to give back to me, that I feel like I have to do what I can to try and help somebody else who may be trying to figure out the same things.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Absolutely. And so you definitely touched on a few good points there. It's so critical, especially in times we are now, to have someone who, you being someone from the inside who understands the frustrations on the opposite end of it all for serving a country. You see the frustrations, you see the pain, you see some of your fellow servicemen who have, you know, may have missing limbs and et cetera, and even the ones who may be suffering from PTSD. And so you definitely have stepped up. And I'm so thankful that we have a man like you who is leading the charge when it comes to taking that step. Definitely, because it don't take much, especially in today's society, to go down a dark path. And me personally, my personal story, I remember when I was in high school and my dad was mentioned to me about going into the military, and I had thought about it, but what deterred me away, Michael, was when I saw my best friend's dad who had served in Vietnam. And as I would talk to him, it didn't get no better than talking to him, because he was in there. He was the Green Beret in the Army, that Special Forces, I believe. And you know, he was a sharp shooter and et cetera. But here it is, he's back home from all of that, and he's dealing with Agent Orange, and I'm hearing him. He's telling me about how he's having issues with the military hospital, the veterans hospital, and this paperwork didn't go through. And I'm hearing all the, I'm direct from him on the issues that he's having, and watching him deal with even his own pains physically. And because even at this point in time, he was a young man, because I was a kid and he was in his early 30s. And I'm hearing this man in his early 30s talk about some of the pains, physical pains, and the things he had to go through. And I was like, man, do I want to? And I asked myself, do I want to take that chance to do that? And I said, no, I don't want to do that. I'll just take my chance and just do something else. But it takes stories. It takes what you're doing to help fellow servicemen so they have a better outcome. So when they do talk to someone who was younger than me at that time, it could be more of a positive story versus a story of, no, keep away from it. And the only way they're going to get me is if they draft me and cut in my house and pull me out, you know? And so as usual, that's so important. So when you decided to put your organization together, did you have any other support around you as you was putting your organization together?
So I have some great support around me. Specifically, I have a personal coach that I'm using. You know, he's been a great support to me. I have a great wife who's very supportive of me, and the rest, it kind of came as a ship in the night, so to speak, to the rest of my friends out there, who I think I surprised a little bit by coming out and doing this, because I didn't always open myself up to care as much as I do now. And, you know,
right.
And so talking about, like, I'm very fortunate, and I to not have had some of those experiences with PTSD and with losing limbs and anything like that, that a lot of the friends that I have had to deal with. And so that's part of where I felt I needed to try and do something. Right. Mm-hmm. I feel it's sort of a funny thing, but I feel like I didn't sacrifice as much as other people did. I didn't have to give as much as people who came back with some of these problems, because, you know, just luck of the draw, plain blind luck. I came back healthy and well, and was able to do something to take a different path with my life. And I see people who I've got close relationships with struggle with things and fight with things in a different way. And I don't know if I can help or not, but I feel like I need to try. I have to do something. And even if it's one person, if 500 people laugh at me and tell me you got the wrong thing, you're not the right guy. And right. You know, you don't know, you can't understand, you don't see. Hey, maybe that's right. But if there's one person that I can help, and so seeing those people who had to give so much at such a young age that were so impacted by things, and knowing I didn't have to have that same sacrifice, I didn't have to give up the same things that these people did, that if there's a way that I can step outside of myself and just give something, you know, just let people know that, hey, you have one more person in your corner and is, you know, willing to come out I want to try to keep giving something back to make sure that everybody who has to make a sacrifice and give something knows that there's somebody who's standing there for them, and, you know, is ready to do what they can to try and help them take whatever that next step in their life is.
Absolutely, Mike, going out, definitely. I think the audience right now, I think one of the things that I know, if I was in the audience, I would want to know is, what are some of the steps, number one, that you take to stay on your path of service, number one? And two, what are some thoughts you can share with some of the audience on how to have an impact on this world?
I think the answer to both of those questions might be the same. And for me, it's keeping the focus on why you're doing what you're doing. And for me, I really care a lot about people. Like it's part of, I think it's how I was born, that I don't know. I really want to try to help people. And just the feeling that I get, if I get to teach something new to somebody, if I get to share somebody, if I get to be on a team with somebody and watch somebody else win, you know, I play football, somebody else scores a touchdown. I love that. You know, I play hockey now, you know.
Yes.
Not very well, but I do it, you know. But being able to see those first time players score their first goals, you know, things like that, that just being able to, you know, keep your focus on what the things are that matter, because that's what's going to make you, you know, it's kind of, we spoke before we started this interview about my faith and the role that that's had, is that that's been my thing that kept me pointed in the right direction, even when I felt lost and confused and whatever. And some people have faith, some people don't. But if you don't have faith, I think you can still have purpose. And that purpose, if you can just stay focused on why did I want to help somebody to begin with? Because if you can keep that in your mind,
that's right,
then you'll always be able to look at what you're doing and say, man, I've lost track of what I'm trying to accomplish. I got to go back to that thing and stay focused on that. So that's how I stay focused on trying to help people and provide service. And that's one of the things, I think that's the biggest things that, especially military folks, when they get out, sometimes you get so tied up in your uniform and this is who I am. And that you have a sense of purpose and belonging because you're doing something that's outside of what your day to day looks like. And, you know, there's a sense of meaning that you get from doing something that's an act of service, and being able to show that you can still give back, that you can still have purpose, even when you're not wearing your stripes, even when you're not wearing your uniform, that there's something else out there that you can find purpose in because you gave a career to giving back to people by doing this thing in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to recognize that took a lot of work and you did some good stuff with that. And there's still opportunity to keep giving back. There's still plenty of stuff out in the world that needs help.
Absolutely.
And if you can keep that focus, that's what I think is, you know, I think are the most important things to me.
And where do you see your life and the work you're doing in the next 5 years?
Next 5 years? Oh boy. You know, I really want to be able to just reach, like I said, one person. And that probably means I have to come in contact with a lot of people in order to really have an impact on one. Just playing the odds, you know? And so I see myself having a speaking career where I can go out and talk to people in professional environments like the one that I'm in now and be able to say, hey,
yes,
here's why you should think about military folks in a way that's different than what you are now. You're not obligated to them, right? You don't owe them anything. We all volunteered for it. But here's the value that they provide that you won't get from somebody else. And be able to share that story and be able to take the pieces of what I've experienced and share that with, like I said, that professional crowd of folks who are going to be the hiring managers for transitioning military. And also to be able to share the same story with military folks who are transitioning.
That's
and
right.
To be able to say, hey, I know that you were in 03X, you know, whatever it is, that your job, right, you practice shooting, right? That's your greatest skill and leadership and organization. And that's hard to find a way to transfer that sometimes to the civilian world. But what are some other things that you can do? Hey, you know what you're really good at? You're really good at organization. You're good at people management. You're really good at paying attention to detail. You're doing all of these things. And you don't have to start at the bottom.
That's right. Don't start at the bottom.
You are an entry-level person.
That's right.
And you may not start at the top, but you can start somewhere where you get recognition for the value that you can provide by virtue of the maturity and experience that you have in working with people. And then you can show what excellence looks like.
That's
so
right.
You take a lot of pride in your uniform. You take a lot of pride in these things, and then you can go and do this work and take that next step to, you maybe you don't start where you want to, but you can move through, and you don't just have to go work for a defense contractor because that's the only thing I'm good at. The whole world is open to you. And if you take the time to figure out what it is that you want to do and really focus on that,
I
believe that there's opportunities, and that's what I want to try to create, is people who believe in the opportunity for themselves and people on the other side who believe that they can create the opportunity for those people to step into.
Yeah, you definitely shared some great things there. You really touch me, Michael, with everything you're doing. And I'm just so glad that you are a positive impact in this world we're living in. And I'm just so grateful to have you come on our show to show how important it is to have an impact, no matter. And I think what touches me about you, the sum of the story is that you're constantly making sure you're putting people in a win-win situation. I think that is so critical. That's so critical.
Yep, that's right.
That's so critical in these times in right now, is being in that win-win situation, you know. So, Devin, how can they reach out to you and your organization?
Sure. So the best way to reach out to me is, I've got a website set up that it's Michael J. Roach. That's ROTCH.com. And that's where you'll find out all about me, my mission, some of the things that I'm doing right now. You'll find out a little bit of my background, and there's a form to fill out there to get in touch with me. If you got any questions, comments, thoughts, or just interested in having a good conversation.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you got it. You got it for the one and only Michael J. Roach, who is making an impact with the servicemen. He's leading the way, even with the financial planning on a job. And we just want to thank you so much for coming on, Michael, because it is so crucial during these times to have people can look to people and know that when they connect with you, there's no ulterior motive, but you're there as a resource, you're there as a connection to help our fellow servicemen. And like you say, even your website, just helping families, because I think we are in a society now that's moving so far away from looking at the family unit, and there's so much the man looking out for the man, a woman looking for the woman, the child I'm looking for the child, and so you are definitely bringing that narrative back to where it should be by you applying your faith, by you taking those steps, and like you say, growing up in a home where you saw your dad take the sacrifices, and you got a chance to see the man live out his faith. And so that is so we're so thankful for you, and just for what you've learned and the example that you are now, and the fact that you, one of the critical things you mentioned, just how having a coach to get to the next level. And I totally understand, coaching is so critical. You know, anyone who has ever been great, they've always had someone who have accomplished great things already, who's able to help them to shorten the learning curve and to avoid a lot of the pitfalls that ordinarily, if we don't have anyone guiding us, directing us, leading us, go into. So we're so thankful for you for coming on, man, and we definitely look forward to having you on again, because we know in the future, you are going to make some even more bigger, even more serious things happen, man. And so we're just so thankful to have you on this show, man. And thank you so much.
Hey, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about my story a little bit. And like you said, the things that I want to talk about are the things that I've done, right? These are the things that I've experienced. I did time in the military. I had issues with my family that I had to work through. I struggled with my faith. I had a weird education path. All of these things that you'll see on my website, those are the things that I have had to work through. And I love the idea that there may be an opportunity for me to share some of what I've experienced with somebody and help shortcut some of those issues for them. So maybe it doesn't take them, you know, 10 years like it took me to get things cleared out and on the right path. And watch somebody else succeed in a way that they maybe never thought that they'd be able to.
Well, that's it there, ladies and gentlemen. You have saw and heard for yourself from one of the thought leaders, one of the change agents in our society, who is leading with his heart, he's leading with his faith, and he's leading with his power and conviction. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you know you have to come and check out the Get Your Business Right show, because I love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it, because we're all about being in the right place, meeting the right people, and making the right power moves. This is the Get Your Business Right show with Mr. Michael Muse, Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach. See you next time.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.